Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Well, hey, church family. A little bit different view this morning. We're trying something out a little bit different today. If you like it, feel free to share. I don't think I've ever preached from this stage. Have I? I'm looking around. I don't think I ever have. So this is a new experience for me too. But we figured we would try something this morning. Before we get into the sermon proper, I just wanted to share a couple of things about what is going on for some of us personally in our community, and just talk about some stuff. First off, everybody's least favorite subject, but something that actually has a little bit of good news with it today. We're going to talk about COVID stuff just for a little bit. I know that for many of us, most of us connected with our church live here in Topeka because we are here. I know that there are some of you who view us from other places around the U.S. For those of us who live in Topeka, we actually have some minor good news on the COVID numbers this week. If you've been watching every week at every weekday at 4:30, like I do, on the dot every time, just to make sure, you may have noticed that numbers in Topeka and in Shawnee County have actually gone down a little. Instead of averaging like 150 new cases a day, we're heading the right direction. I think there was even one day where we had 38 new cases. And I want to say, if you are one of those 38 people, especially if you're somebody with a serious case, it is still a struggle and it's still difficult. And if you are one of those people or you know someone who is, we are praying for you, for them, for our world. But there is good news with that as well. There are people in our church that have been starting to get vaccinated, receiving their first shots. That's good, and we're glad to hear that. I just want to say I'm seeing a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel, a hopeful light, not, you know, that light at the end of the tunnel. But I just want to encourage you, do what you can, keep going strong, wear your mask, social distance, and we pray that this will come to a point where we can soon gather in person like we all want to. So be praying, keep moving. Second thing is a little bit more personal news for Caitlin and I. Some of you may know that Caitlin went in this week for a little bit of a checkup for her heart stuff. We journeyed over to Kansas City, went to St. Luke's there, and they gave us, I don't know how to describe it, neutral news, maybe the best way, like not bad news and not amazing news, but steady news, I guess. Caitlin's heart right now is functioning stably. It's been consistent over the last 6 months, and really it's been consistent for a while, it seems, which is great in that it's not deteriorating. Her doctors kind of helped clue us in that where she is at right now will probably be where she's at for a while, just from their best guess. So we're trying to figure out all that means, but we are praising God that her heart is stable. Caitlin's on the comments today. Love, if you want to correct anything I said, please feel free to do so. She's the boss. You heard it here first. And finally, One last thing before we get into the sermon. There is a group of people here in Topeka that are extremely excited that their team made the Super Bowl. Their team is going to be playing in the big game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have made it. That's my team. Yeah. I'm sorry if I blew out anyone's speakers there. I'm just excited. Wait, is there another team locally that made it?
We think so.
You think so? Okay. To all of you Chiefs fans, best of luck. I think I've told some of you privately that it's been hard. It's been a little bit difficult or different to root for Tampa this year. But we'll see what happens come Sunday. Clash of two teams. One, at least one person in our church will be happy no matter what happens. But anyways, let's pray real quick. God Almighty, I'm reminded of the song that we just sang that our journey, our call, our desire is to trust and obey you. That we want to move forward into your will and into your way and into what you have for us as Cornerstone Community Church. God, be with us as we listen to your word, as we examine what you would ask us to do, as we live our lives. We ask and we pray that you would guide us, that you would be with us, and that we would continue to know you more and more. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, we are in our sermon series that I'm calling Blessed. We're trying to take away that hashtag there. But we're in this sermon series called Blessed, where we are taking a look at the Beatitudes. I think this is the halfway point. We're about halfway through the Beatitudes. And this week, we are exploring two Beatitudes that talk about righteousness. Righteousness meaning right living, living well, living correctly. As I untangle my microphone so it lets me journey a little bit. I actually have room to move up here on the stage. It's a new experience. But living rightly, living correctly. In the Greek, it is this word right here. Dikaiosune. Dikaiosune, let's see, where is it? Right there. Yep. So this V-looking like thing here, these two V's are actually N's, and this N-looking like thing in the middle is an E, Dikaiosune, and it is the word that we translate in our Bibles most often. Righteousness. We actually see it in one of the Beatitudes we're going to be talking about today. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And in English, there are actually two ways to translate this word. Often with other languages, we find that there are multiple ways that we, multiple meanings that in another language, it's all kind of mushed together, but in English, we've separated it out, and they do that for other words of ours. But for dikaiosunein, for righteousness, it's often translated as, you might have guessed it, righteousness, but it's also translated as justice. Those are the two meanings. And that might seem like a strange set of words to put together, righteousness and justice. I mean, one word is very spiritual. Righteousness, we think about our personal righteousness. We think about spirituality and what that means for us. And with justice, that's kind of a legal term. That's legality. It often deals with our society, our community together, and what is legal, what is appropriate or not. And so in the Bible, given that one of these translations is a bit more spiritually oriented, in the Bible, when we read this Greek word, our translators usually talk about it as righteousness. They translate it as righteousness because we're in the Bible and we're talking about spiritual things. That is appropriate and that is good. But I want to push us a little further, because when we see this word in the Bible, we can bring that sense of justice. We can kind of mix it together and have it help us understand a little bit better. I would say a little bit. I'd say better, a little bit differently, what the Bible might mean. So when we see the word right or righteousness in our Bibles, we should also read justice, not excluding righteousness, not pushing that to the side, but also including this. It's a both and situation. And this can really affect how we read the Bible. I'm going to throw up 2 Corinthians 5:21 on the screen. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made Jesus, that's the hymn this passage is referring to, God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, taking the consequences of our sin, putting Jesus in our place. But listen here, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So that we might become the justice of God. That's a little bit different of a feeling, right? That we might be, or we might be shown to be, God's justice. Slightly different take on it. Righteousness and justice are linked together. Because righteous living, when we live rightly, we're living justly. For something to be righteous, it must also be just. Because if something isn't just, it's not righteous, it's not good, it's not what God would want us to be doing. And I know that when we talk about justice, we think of legal things, but in the Bible, in what we have, it is so much more than that. It is about people being well, people having what they need, people being at peace, that those that are doing wrong held accountable, and those that are doing right by others to be shown as that. Justice is how things should be. You might link it to the Hebrew word shalom, where everything is the way it should be. And I just want to say there has not been a truly, fully just society in our world. There have been societies, cultures that are far more just than others. That is absolutely true. And we pray that we live in one, that we live in a culture and a society that is just, that is working at being more just all the time, that we are trying to be the best that we can be. But with these two Beatitudes that we're talking about today, I think what Jesus is doing is helping us see a call to righteous living and a justice. And so I want to dive in and take a look at God's wisdom for us and how that might change our lives and our world. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Jesus is using mealtime imagery here in Matthew 5, what is this, 6? Yeah, Matthew 5, 6. He's using mealtime imagery for people that are longing for righteousness, longing for justice. He's saying, you people who have been longing for righteousness, for this justice, you will have your fill. You will be full. Just question, if you want to throw it out in the Facebook comments or those of us that are in here, anyone ever done intermittent fasting? I can't see the Facebook comments, so Patrick, you see one, yell it out. Anyone ever done intermittent fasting? It's where you fast for a little bit, like you don't eat anything from midnight the night before all the way till 4 or 5 p.m. And once you get to like 5 p.m., you go raid the pantry and you eat the first thing that you find. It doesn't matter if it is tortillas, if it's stale rice crackers, if it's quinoa, you still eat it. And you just go to town on it. That's after one day. I'm not a very strong-willed person, apparently, in that regard. But that's the kind of hunger that Jesus is talking about. People that are hungry, that deeply want something. Where you want that righteousness in your life, where you want that justice. And what Jesus is saying is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for this, for it will happen. Those people that deeply want righteousness, those people that deeply want justice are blessed. This will happen. And more than that, they are blessed. As often we see in the Bible, those that are blessed are also a blessing to others. You probably know someone in your life that's like that, that is longing to be righteous, that is trying to figure out what is the best way to live. How can I live the best? How can I live well so that I'm taking care of myself, other people, however God wants me to live? You may know somebody who is longing for justice, who is trying to help people experience justice well. I've got a buddy like that. His name is Nathan. Nathan does well at righteous living and at justice. I met him during my time in Fresno. He actually started a business for people that struggled with employment, that had something in their past or a situation they were currently in that made it difficult for them to be employed. And Nathan hired them, employed them, trained them, helped them learn some skills. I forget the name of his company, but he was doing something with door-to-door marketing. So his people would leave flyers on people's doors, and they would canvass the neighborhood and give out flyers for local businesses and coffee shops and whoever would hire them. And for Nathan, like, making money was nice, but his goal, the primary impetus here, was that he could be helping people. And it wasn't just with his business. I mean, in just about everything he did, he just oozed this desire to do things well and the best way and God's way. He's actually the guy who got me into cycling, which I'm eager to return to this year. I have regained some of what I had previously lost over the pandemic months, the first ones, and I'm eager to lose it again. I think, Dan, I hope you don't mind if I tell on you a little bit, but Dan always jokes he may have lost some things, but he knows where to find it. Well, I found it, and I'd like to not. So I'm eager to get back to cycling again, but Nathan's the guy who got me into cycling because he rode his bike everywhere. He didn't want to use gas if he didn't have to, and if he was just going to the grocery store for a couple of bananas and a thing of milk and some eggs, he just grabbed his bike, put it on there, and went. And given that the grocery store was like a mile away from the seminary, it was super easy, I got in the habit of doing that. And it was helpful. Nathan was in my life and continues to be where he is now, a blessing. He is somebody that I think of when I read this beatitude. His longing for righteousness, his longing for justice will be filled. But it's important to remember that Nathan didn't do all of this because he was righteous from the get-go. Nathan didn't do all of these things, didn't think about, you know, what would God have me do in this situation because he was righteous. Remember, being righteous is something that we can't earn, we can't get on our own. That we are righteous because God declares us to be righteous, that it's something that God says, you are righteous, that we are declared righteous by God. But what Nathan did, it wasn't what he did that made him righteous, but he did something that righteous people, that people who have done righteous things throughout the ages have done. And I sound like a broken record, but it's listening to God. He listened to God. He said, God, what are you wanting in this situation? What are you asking of me? And that's how his business started. It's him asking God, what could I do? I see a problem. How can I be a part of that solution? If you are someone who wants to live well, to live righteously, the invitation is to listen to God. And that, I just want to say, I feel like I'm saying this a lot these days, and I think that's mostly because that's where I kind of am trying to, I am being pushed in my own spiritual development, is in listening to God. Because when we listen to God, there are different responses God might give us. God might say, sure, go do this. God might give us the feeling, the encouragement, the conviction to go do something. God might also say, wait. I've got somebody else that's going to deal with that. I have other things for you. God might challenge us to do something very different than we initially thought when we asked. But it's from listening to God that we as Christians get our marching orders. It's from listening to God that we figure out how to live rightly and to live well. That by listening to God that we can develop this hunger and this thirst for righteousness, for doing God's will. Our world needs people who hunger and thirst after righteousness, and we need people who do this next beatitude too. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. I want to just invite you, think back to a time where you received mercy. Just take a couple of seconds. We'll keep it quiet for a few seconds, but think back to a time when you received mercy. Hope you have something in mind. When I practice my sermons on Sunday morning as a way of helping me remember them, and when I paused this morning, the thought that came to my mind was actually, funnily enough, I was joking about football earlier, it was football related. As a fourth grader, I was super scrawny, had on my glasses, terrible athlete, didn't know anything about sports, and my friend Ben, different Ben, he had mercy on me. Ben Davis, I doubt anyone here would know him. But Ben Davis and I, we were good friends. And Ben had mercy on me. He picked me to play on his football team at recess. And it was mercy, I will tell you. I remember he tossed me the ball, and there were people coming around to tackle me. We were at recess. It was 2 below. Nothing was going to happen. But I got scared, and I threw the football up into the air, and the other team got it and scored a touchdown the other way. And Ben was like, why did you do that? Oh, okay, you don't understand. All right, well, that was a turnover. Let's try something else. But that memory of Ben being merciful came to my mind. And I mean, be something that's a little bit trivial. That's from my younger years. But it may be something small. It may be a bigger time when you received mercy. We recognize that we all need mercy in some shape, way, or another. That all of us have done things that we need, that we desire mercy for. And it is a blessing to be shown mercy, to receive that mercy. And it's also a blessing to give mercy away. I actually think that it is the antidote to a lot of the ills of our world, to be giving mercy out. Mercy given by one person to another, mercy given by God to all of us when we don't live up to His way, which is all the time, quite frankly. Even those who are Christians, who we try to avoid sinning as best we can, sometimes we recognize we've been doing something wrong and we haven't even realized it. And we're in need of God's mercy. Mercy is one of those funny things. You can't ever give enough of it away, and you can't ever receive enough of it. And the first step towards receiving mercy, if you're in a situation where you need to receive mercy, that first step of receiving mercy is recognizing your need for it. Caitlin and I are in a situation where we might need a little mercy from a insurance company this week. We got a medical bill from 2 years ago. This is a nice surprise, a procedure she had done 2 years ago, you know, two insurance companies ago and all that good stuff. And it's not a small bill. it might wreck our month, maybe our year, depending on how it comes out financially. But this week, what we are going to be doing is we're going to be calling our insurance company and asking for mercy, asking for them to help us pay this, because they're in the business of helping people with medical insurance. And I just want to say, whether the mercy that you're looking for is a massive bill, whether it is a boss that is needing to make some staff cuts, is looking to do that, whether you're looking for mercy from somebody on social media that just seems to be coming after you, I think we can all recognize there is a place in our lives where we need to receive mercy. In the same way, there are people in our lives that need mercy from us. That neighbor with that annoyingly loud dog that has just been barking up a storm, and they get out and they're trespassing and endangering you on your lawn, and so you feel like you have a right to take action against the dog or something. Maybe that neighbor needs mercy instead. That family member that just keeps messing things up in their life, and it feels like you don't even want to acknowledge that they exist. Maybe it is with money. Maybe it's an acquaintance that owes you money. Jesus actually talks about the last one. He talks about this in Matthew, is it 18? Yeah, 18, verses 21 through 35. In that parable, a king has a servant, and this servant owes him over $1 million. He owes him a ton of money, an almost unimaginable amount of money. And the servant begs, and the king has mercy. He forgives his debt, and the servant goes on his merry way. But then that same servant who had just been forgiven a debt of over $1 million saw a guy who owed him a couple of thousand, a fellow servant, and he did not have mercy. He said, "No, you're going to go to jail until you pay me back everything you owe me. Not going to have mercy on you." Threw him in jail. And word gets out, gets back to the king of what happened. And so the king takes that servant who owed him all of that money, and the king brings the servant before him and says, "Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant? Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Receiving mercy is something that we as Christians know a lot about. And it's something that we are invited to partake in to give away to others, to show others mercy. When we live the Jesus way, we recognize that mercy does not just stop with us. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You know who needs mercy in your life? I don't. I know who needs mercy in my life, potentially. You know where you need mercy in your life, from other people, from God. Our challenge as a church community, as a family, is to show people the same mercy that we receive. To show people the mercy that we receive for ourselves, and to show them the mercy that God our Lord provides. That we can introduce them to the same mercy that we ourselves have received through Jesus. And that when they encounter this King of Mercy, when they encounter Jesus, they'll experience the same kind of mercy, the same sweet spirit that we all have. I don't know if any of you guys, I don't know if any of you guys remember this. I don't know if everyone remembers this. I know there have been people that have joined us even the last couple of months. Bob and Deanna, I'm sorry I missed you on Friday. That's my day out of the office. Next time. But for those of you who may not know, our church actually had a quartet for a while, Personal Touch. Seeing a nod from Greg? Yeah? And John as well. Lawrence, I don't want to leave you out there. And a couple of baritones, if I'm remembering right. I apologize to our baritones. I think they are not... I haven't met them yet, at least. But this quartet called Personal Touch, and it was a quartet that would sing here, that would sing at churches around the state and elsewhere, beyond that as well, around the country. And they sing a song that I'm going to play for us at the end of the service. When the slide goes to the God Bless You screen, you'll hear this song. But this song is called Sweet Sweet Spirit. And this song talks about the sweet, sweet Spirit of the Lord and how even when we leave this place, even if it's this online place, online space that we're in these days, that even when we leave this place, we know God's love and we know the sweet, sweet Spirit, the Spirit of righteousness, the Spirit of mercy. That we know when we leave this place that we have encountered the Lord. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to invite all of us to be praying that God would fill us with that sweet, sweet Spirit, that God would help us be filled with that God would help us hunger and thirst after righteousness, that God would help us to show mercy to others, and that God's Spirit would overwhelm each and every one of us and make us more like Him. Let's pray together, and then we'll hear. God Almighty, we know that You have created in each of us a desire to connect with You, and sometimes we can push that away. Sometimes we don't feel that strongly. Sometimes we connect with You and things. Sometimes things just feel off. But God, we all have that desire to connect with You, to connect with the divine, with You, Yahweh, God. Help us have a hunger for righteousness. Help us have a thirst for justice. Help us to be a people that shows mercy to others. God, Jesus declared, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." God, we want to be filled with righteousness. We want to have our thirst for justice quenched. We want to live rightly in our world and before you. God, you said as Jesus, you said, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God, we desire to be merciful, not just so that we can be shown mercy, but because we already have been shown mercy by you, because you saved us on the cross. You saved each and every one of us when you didn't have to, and that is mercy. We ask you to fill our hearts with mercy so that we can show it to our friends, family, neighbors, that one person in the grocery line, whomever you convict us, to help us show mercy to our world. God, fill us with this sweet, sweet spirit this song talks about, and may we be more like you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. May you hunger and thirst for righteousness. May you be filled. May you show mercy. May you be merciful to others, and may you be shown mercy. May you be the church well this week. Blessings to you. Go in peace.